Good afternoon, and thanks for joining Washington, D.C.-based Jennifer Schaff & Associates in our Get Farsighted in 2020 complimentary webinar series. As you know, the FAR, or Federal Acquisition Regulations, is the rulebook that the government must follow when making purchases. Our webinar series pulls from contracting experts to explain each part of the FAR. It's complimentary and recorded. We'll post all of the recordings on our website and YouTube channel, where we have over 300 government contracting webinars available for download. A special thanks to our webinar partner in the series, the National Veterans Small Business Coalition Education Foundation. Please visit their website to learn more about the organization. We'd also like to thank our friends at Open the FAR for their sponsorship. If you're interested in sponsoring the series or one part, please contact hello@jenniferschaus.com. And now a little bit about us. We work with primarily large businesses to help them navigate the federal marketplace. We work with both product and service companies as well as software firms. Our clients span the globe and include publicly traded organizations in a variety of sectors. We provide market analysis reports, contract administration, contract vehicle systems, and more. All of our services can also be looked into a training course for your team. Learn more about us on our website. And now we would like to let you know about some ways to reach the government and government contractors through us. We offer advertising and sponsorship opportunities through a weekly newsletter and also in our webinar series. For pricing or your closing record, please email us at hello@jenniferschaus.com. Also, please join us on Tuesday, June 23rd for our virtual Hot Topics and GovCon virtual conference. This is a virtual conference, and please use the link you see on the screen to register. You can also visit the events section on our website to register. During this conference, we will take your live questions, and the PowerPoint webinar will only be available to those who register for the conference. We really hope to see you there. Now let's move on to learn a bit about today's speaker, Mark Amadeo. You can find his contact information on the screen here. Today we are covering FAR Part 27 with Mark. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're really thankful for your participation in the series. The floor is now yours. Please let me know when you're ready for your next slide.
Great. Thanks, Arnav. Next slide, please. So today we're going to be talking briefly about copyrights, patents and rights in inventions, and data and software rights. And these rights are covered in Part 27. And there are four subparts to Part 27, but the rules that discuss these rights are mainly in Parts 27.2, 27.3, and 27.4. Next slide, please. Now, there are some basic principles that contractors should keep in mind about FAR and the rules in Part 27. Now, first, FAR only concerns itself with the rights of two groups, and those are government agencies and the performing government contractors and subcontractors. So as to everyone else, like potentially infringing third parties, government contractors have to look elsewhere other than FAR to identify the rules that cover rights and protections. So for the things that we're talking about today, those protections against infringement are found in U.S. copyright law and U.S. patent law. Now, the second thing to keep in mind is that in the FAR, there's a clear pattern or distinction between things that are newly created by contractors while they're performing under a government contract and things they create before, after, or completely unrelated to performing under a government contract. And although never stated expressly in FAR, this pattern reflects a notion that if something is created on the government's dime or during a government-funded activity, well, the government should inherit more rights over it than if it were created completely independent of government funding. Now, another principle that is actually stated expressly in FAR is that the U.S. government always has the right to use any patented invention or copyrighted work. So while an inventor or a company can sue to prevent other companies or other individuals from using their created works or from infringing on their rights, they can't sue to permanently keep the U.S. government from using their created works. At best, all they can do is sue to make the government pay for using their works. And in fact, if the government authorizes a support contractor to use someone else's created works while performing under a government contract, The support contractor is completely immune and can't even be sued. And instead, any claims have to be asserted against the government. And the last thing the contractors should keep in mind is that under Part 27, all intellectual property, and really anything that can or should be protected, is generally funneled into two buckets. It's either an invention or it's data. And all of the rights and protections under FAR are explained in terms of protecting data or patented inventions. Now, we're going to get into the discussion of data later, but for now, the term data under FAR is defined to include basically any kind of writing or any kind of expression that can be seen or read. So now, with these principles in mind, let's take a closer look at some of these rights. Next slide, please. So in general, copyright protections give the holder of the copyright the exclusive right to reproduce, create derivative works, distribute copies, or to perform or display their works publicly. But to go beyond generalities, you have to go to U.S. Copyright Act and related cases for the specifics on the protections that are afforded to copyright holders. Now, as for FAR, what Part 27 does is lay out when or if a contractor can assert those copyright protections, whatever they may be. Next slide, please. So the discussion of copyrights is largely found in FAR 27.4043. And again, FAR generally distinguishes things that are created during contract performance from things created outside of contract performance. So as for copyrighted works that contain data first produced by a contractor during contract performance, the contractor retains the right to copyright that data, but there's a qualification. The contractor must first obtain permission of the contracting officer to assert the copyright, unless what it wants to copyright is a technical or a scientific article that has information that was published in a scientific, academic, or technical journal, or that was published in a symposium. So for these scientific or technical articles, a contractor can assert a copyright without the contracting officer's permission. Next slide, please. Now, as for works that are created during contract performance, the government is automatically granted a paid-up, non-exclusive, irrevocable license to reproduce, prepare derivative works, to distribute, or to publicly perform or display the works. And these are rights that the government can exercise only for itself or for its own behalf. So the government can't, for example, sublicense these rights to a contractor's competitor to commercialize the IP. Next slide, please. So as for works that or data that's created outside of a government contract, FAR doesn't really address who can assert copyrights over those works, but it implicitly recognizes that contractors or third parties have that right. Instead, the issue that FAR deals with is whether or not these outside works can be delivered to the government during contract performance. And under Part 27, these outside works can be delivered to the government, but only if the contractor first obtains permission from the contracting officer, or if the contractor acquires or grants a license to the government. And that license must be the same scope as the license that the government gets for works that are created under a government contract. In other words, it must be a paid-up, non-exclusive, irrevocable license to reproduce and prepare derivative works, to distribute, and to publicly perform or display the work. Next slide, please. So we're going to talk briefly about patents and inventions. Now, when it comes to inventions, the distinction between those that are created during contract performance or created outside of contract performance is even more clear, because FAR uses a particular term for inventions that are made during contract performance, and it calls those inventions subject inventions. Now, as for who gets to own a subject invention, The general rule under FAR is that a contractor can elect to retain title of a subject invention. Next slide, please. But there are exceptions to this right of a contractor to elect to retain title. So a contractor may instead be required to assign a subject invention to the government when the contractor is not in the U.S. or is subject to foreign control, in exceptional circumstances, if it's necessary to promote the policy and objectives of U.S. patent law, if it's necessary to protect foreign intelligence or counterintelligence activities, if the contract involves operating a Department of Energy facility that's dedicated to naval nuclear propulsion or nuclear weapons, or if there's another statute or agency regulation that requires government ownership. Next slide, please. Now, there are other instances in which the government retains title of a subject invention, and they include if a contractor has not made a timely disclosure to the government of the subject invention, or if it fails to make a timely election to retain title, or if the contractor doesn't file a timely patent application, or if it decides to discontinue a patent application or fails to defend a patent application. Next slide, please. So when a contractor elects to retain title to a subject invention, the government automatically acquires certain license rights. And under those license rights, the government automatically has a paid-up, non-exclusive, irrevocable, non-transferable license to practice or to have practice on its behalf any subject invention anywhere in the world. Next slide, please. So we've just talked about ownership rights. Well, what about license and use rights? Well, again, we're talking here about subject inventions that are made during contract performance. And in those instances in which the government acquires title to the invention, the contractor still retains a revocable, non-exclusive, paid-up license to use the inventions. And it can transfer the license, but it must obtain the contracting officer's approval unless the transfer is to a successor company. Next slide, please. Now, as for things that are created apart or outside of a government contract, we said earlier that the government can't be sued to be prevented from using any patented invention, and that includes an invention that's created outside of contract performance. And we also said that contractors are immune from patent infringement suits if they obtain authorization of the government to use a patented invention. Now, the government typically includes a blanket authorization to use patented inventions by inserting FAR Clause 52.2271 into a contract. So contractors should examine their FAR clauses to make sure that this is in their contracts in order to minimize exposure from inadvertent infringements. Now, the government pays for the use of patented inventions that are not subject inventions by paying royalties. And royalties are covered in FAR Part 27.2. Now, typically, government solicitations will include FAR Clause 52.2276, which says that if a bidding contractor anticipates that it will be delivering a patented invention to the government, it should provide royalty information to the government in a proposal. And this is so that the government can decide if the expected royalties are excessive or improper or inconsistent with any existing patent rights that the government may have. And likewise, there may be times that the government knows that it already has a license over a patented invention that may be used during contract performance. And in those instances, the government also is required to provide the license information and royalty rates to bidding contractors. Next slide, please. So now we're going to touch briefly on data and software rights under Part 27. Now, the rights to data and software under FAR, they're generally framed in terms of what the government's rights are to use data and software that a contractor generates or delivers. Now, the term software or computer software are actually a subset of the term data as defined in FAR. And the definition of data under FAR is fairly expansive. It means any recorded information, regardless of the form or the media on which it's recorded. And so data includes both technical data and software. And technical data is defined as recorded information of a scientific or technical nature that is not computer software. So just a quick side note here. We've already talked about inventions, and it may be difficult at times to distinguish when something is an invention and when something is data. And the FAR definition of invention isn't particularly illuminating. All it says is that an invention is a discovery or an invention that can be patented. So you're kind of left going in circles. But I think the easiest way to distinguish data from inventions is that while inventions may be discoveries, in other words, new ideas or new concepts, the moment those ideas or concepts are reduced to a tangible form, you know, the moment the ideas are and concepts are expressed in some written or readable or viewable form, those ideas and concepts are converted into data. Now, as for data rights, one thing to keep in mind is the fact that the government may acquire certain rights to data that a contractor generates under a government contract doesn't mean that the government is actually entitled to delivery of that data. So a contractor may generate all kinds of data while it's performing under a government contract, but it's the contract that determines what part of that data is a deliverable. And this is important because the government can't exercise data rights unless it actually has acquired the data. Next slide, please. Now, one set of rights that the government has under FAR Part 27 is unlimited rights. So the government automatically has unlimited rights to unlimited rights data. And unlimited rights are, as it sounds, expansive and nearly limitless. So these rights include the right to use, copy, make publicly available, and to prepare derivative works in any manner and for any purpose. And importantly, these rights include the government's rights to allow others to do the same. So in other words, these rights include the right of the government to sublicense these same expansive rights to other companies. Next slide, please. So unlimited rights data is data that is not copyrighted and that falls under one of four categories. First, it's data that's first produced in the performance of a contract. Second, it can be form, fit, and function data that's delivered under a contract. And form, fit, and function data is data that the government needs to actually use and access the information. So things like specifications and performance and configuration requirements, those are form, fit, and function data. But for computer software, this doesn't include source codes. Now, the third set of unlimited rights data includes manuals or instruction and training materials that are required for installation, operation, and maintenance and repair of the things that are delivered to the government under a government contract. And the fourth set of unlimited rights data is a catch-all. It basically, any data that's delivered to the government that is not limited rights data or restricted computer software. So this leads us to the next set of data rights that we'll cover. Next slide, please. So we said earlier that FAR generally distinguishes between things that are created under a government contract with government funding and things that aren't. And we see that that distinction pretty clearly in the limited and restricted rights that the government acquires over data and software that is developed with private funding. So as a result, the result is that data and software that is confidential or proprietary, the government's rights are limited and restricted in order to protect those privately funded proprietary interests. Next slide, please. So there are two requirements for data to be limited rights data. First, it must be data other than computer software that is either a trade secret or is commercial or financial and is also confidential privilege. And secondly, the data must relate to something that's developed at private expense. Next slide, please. Now, as for restricted rights software, there are also two requirements. First, the software must be developed at private expense. And second, the software must be a trade secret or commercial or financial and confidential or privileged, or it must be copyrighted software. Next slide, please. So limited rights data and restricted rights software are treated the same under Part 27. So in general, a contractor can protect limited rights data and restricted software by simply not delivering it. And by not delivering it, the contractor avoids making it subject to the catch-all for unlimited rights data that applies to contract deliverables. So if during contract performance, a contracting officer says, hey, can we see X, Y, or Z? And that X, Y, or Z is limited rights data or restricted computer software, you know, the contractor can say, no, you can have form, fit, and function data instead. But to avoid turning over the data or software to the contracting officer, the contractor has to identify the data or software that it's holding back. Next slide, please. Now, there may be instances in which restricted rights software or limited rights data is actually a deliverable under a contract when the software or data is what the government specifically wants under the contract and is willing to pay for. Now, in those instances, the government will include a particular FAR clause paragraph in the contract that either specifies the restricted or limited data and software that it wants delivered, or that allows the contracting officer to require delivery of restricted rights software or limited rights data upon written request. Now, either way, if the FAR clause paragraph is included in the contract, the government can't disclose the data outside the government or use it for manufacturing purposes without the contractor's permission, except as set forth in that FAR clause paragraph. And Part 27 gives examples of when disclosures can be made without the contractor's permission. And these include to permit support contractors to use the data or to allow other contractors to use the data for emergency repairs or to permit other contractors that are working on the same government program to use the data. In all of these cases, any disclosures by the government to any recipient must also be subject to a prohibition against any further use or disclosure by the recipient. Next slide, please. Now, as for restricted rights to the restricted rights software that the government has identified it wants delivered, those restricted rights prohibit the government from using the software or distributing the software or disclosing the software outside of the government, except under specific circumstances. And those are that it can use or copy the software on computers, which is it has specified that it needs the software for. It can use the software on backup computers. It can make backups or copies for safekeeping. It can modify or adapt the software, combine it with other software, as long as any modifications and adaptations or any combinations are also subject to restricted rights. It can also disclose the software to support contractors whose disclosures and use are subject to these same restrictions. And it can also use and copy the software on replacement computers. Next slide, please. Now, besides unlimited rights and limited data and restricted software rights, there are other rights that the government can acquire depending on the particular government contract that aren't spelled out under FAR. So for example, the government's rights to data that's generated under an SBIR or STTR funding agreement, they're not unlimited rights that it inherits in most other government contracts. Instead, they resemble more closely the limited data rights that apply to data that's privately funded. And those SBIR data rights are spelled out not in FAR Part 27, but in an SBIR policy directive that's issued by the SBA. And those SBIR data rights are also spelled out in particular data rights clauses that are inserted into SBIR funding agreements. Now, also for commercial software, FAR Part 27 doesn't spell out the particular rights that government agencies acquire. It just says that the government contract has to address the government's rights to use or disclose or modify or distribute the software. And it also says the licenses should be the same as those that are customarily provided to the public. Now, lastly, when it comes to data and software that contractors believe are subject to limited or restricted rights and that are going to be delivered to the government, contractors have to place very specific markings on the data and software in order to put the government on notice that they're subject to restrictions and limitations. And these correct markings are very important because under Part 27, the government assumes that anything that's provided to it without any markings is unlimited rights data and software. And it disclaims any liability for disclosing the data or software during the time that it is unmarked. And similarly, any incorrect or defective markings can be ignored by the government. So that's all I have for Part 27. But before I finish, I just want to touch briefly on why contractors should familiarize themselves with those rules. Now, first, contractors should know what protections and rights are available to them under FAR. But also, contractors should be able to anticipate the government's rights when they're working out their IP agreements with non-government or commercial partners, particularly if they know that the IP they're developing with their partners may end up being delivered to the government. So for example, NDAs and IP sharing agreements typically include all kinds of exclusivity clauses that prevent disclosures to third parties. Well, those restrictions are going to conflict with data rights clauses that not only require disclosure to the government, but even when the government's rights are limited or restricted, they permit the government to disclose to third parties without the contractor's permission. So contractors should know that they're going to deliver IP. So contractors that know that they are going to deliver IP to the government need to make room in their agreements for these government rights, and they should put their partners on notice of them in their IP agreements. Well, that's all I have for today. Thanks everybody for listening. And if you have any questions on any of the things that I've mentioned today, feel free to reach out to me, and my information, I believe, is on the next slide.
All right. Thank you so much for a great presentation, Mark. Really appreciate your participation in the series. To our audience members, thank you again for joining us. And Mark mentioned, if you have any questions, his contact information is on the screen. And just as a reminder, to join us on Tuesday, June 23rd for a virtual Hot Topics and GovCon virtual conference. The registration link is on the screen here, but it's also under the events section of our website. Additionally, if you have any questions about federal contract and need assistance with any of our services, please contact us directly. Thank you again for joining us. This concludes today's webinar.